Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. So if you ever feel like you're drowning in your news feed, maybe struggling to figure out what's reliable versus, well, just noise.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone there.
Exactly. And that feeling, that confusion, it's why today we're diving into something critical, the state of journalism itself.
It's essential, really.
Yeah.
For you, the learner, for anyone trying to be an informed citizen, understanding how credible journalism is supposed to work, its role, it's vital in this pretty chaotic information landscape we're in.
We're looking at the analysis of Ian Hargreaves today.
We are. And we're not just skimming headlines. We're going deep into his take on the whole system.
Our goal here is to really unpack the big tensions, you know, the constant push and pull between journalism as this vital public service, its moral function even, and the harsh realities of trying to make it work commercially, especially now.
What happens when that business model just breaks?
Mm-hmm.
And it's supporting something fundamental to democracy.
Precisely. And Hargreaves, he's kind of the perfect person to guide us through this, wouldn't you say? Because he's seen it from both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just an academic observing from afar. He's been in the thick of it. He's actually, you know, run things.
Right. You look at his background, he's this distinguished professor of journalism at Cardiff University. So he's got the scholarly chops.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also been editor at huge places like The Independent, The New Statesman. He knows what it's like to make those tough calls in a newsroom.
Signed off on front pages, managed budgets, dealt with editorial fights. And maybe most importantly, he was director of BBC News and Current Affairs. Think about that impartiality, global news, huge budgets.
Yeah.
He wrestled with all of it firsthand.
That mixed the academic rigor plus the practical hands-on experience. That's what makes his perspective so valuable for this deep dive. He's not just talking theory.
No, he connects the theory to the messy real-world stuff. He understands the gap between the ideals journalism aims for and, well, the pressure of the bottom line.
He bridges that gap, right? Between the lofty mission and the day-to-day grind of keeping the lights on.
Exactly.
So let's get to the heart of his argument. What's the main takeaway from his analysis?
Well, he argues that journalism isn't just, you know, a job or a trade. It's this complex, often contested, but absolutely essential part of how a democratic society functions. A pillar, really.
And right away, he focuses on that core tension we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. That it exists right at this crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, it's a public service. Its role is informing people, holding power accountable.
Keeping checks and balances.
Right. But on the other hand, it's almost always a commercial business. It needs audiences. It needs advertisers. It needs to turn a profit or at least break even.
And I think a lot of people see that commercial side as maybe a necessary evil or even a flaw.
But Hargreaves says, hang on. In societies like ours, this tension isn't a bug. It's a feature. It's part of what defines it. You need the audience to pay for the difficult reporting.
But that can create conflicts, right? Sometimes chasing audience means maybe ignoring important but less exciting stories.
Definitely. That's the constant balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
And his work really serves as a guide for us, for the engaged citizen, helping you move beyond just consuming news passively.
To actually understanding how it gets made, how the reliable stuff is produced, checked, put out there.
Exactly. In this incredibly noisy world.
Yeah.
So the big question he tackles, the one probably keeping news executives up at night, is can journalism still fulfill its democratic purpose when the money's drying up? And trust is, frankly, eroding.
A huge question. So where does he start? How does he define what journalism is?
He breaks it down. It's defined by its purpose, first, which is serving the public interest, and second, by its process.
I'm a process.
The disciplined work of gathering information, verifying it, and then reporting it accurately and fairly.
That verification part seems absolutely critical now, doesn't it? With misinformation everywhere.
It's the bedrock. That commitment to checking facts, getting things right, correcting mistakes, striving for balance. That's what should separate professional journalism from just, you know, some random post going viral.
It's the quality control, essentially.
That's a good way to put it. It's the stamp that says we've done the work here. But, and here's the tension again.
That work costs money.
Right. And the pressure to grab eyeballs, to get clicks or viewers, can sometimes push newsrooms towards, well, sensationalism. The easy stuff. The stuff that causes outrage instead of the complex but vital investigations.
And he connects this to technology, reminding us that journalism and tech have always sort of grown up together.
Yeah, from the printing press onwards. Each new tech changed the game. But the internet, Hargreaves argues that was different. That wasn't just another step.
It was a revolution.
A revolution that just shattered the economic foundation. It broke those local monopolies newspapers used to have. And crucially, it just wiped out so much of the advertising revenue, especially things like classified ads, that it basically paid for expensive in-depth reporting for like a century.
Wow, a century's worth of subsidy gone.
Pretty much. And this leads to what he calls these three converging crises. First, the economic crisis, the money's just not there like it was.
Okay.
Second, the technological crisis, the way online platforms work often rewards speed, emotion, maybe outrage over careful, nuanced reporting.
Yeah, algorithms aren't necessarily designed for truth.
Not primarily, no. And those two feed directly into the third, possibly the biggest one, crisis of trust.
Which feels like the most dangerous one long term. If people don't trust the information, what's left?
Exactly. And that, Hargreaves says, is why ethics becomes so incredibly important now. A clear, consistent ethical code is maybe the main thing journalism has left to justify public faith.
So what does that ethical framework look like, according to him?
He lays out five key pillars. The first two are pretty fundamental: truth and accuracy. That means a deep commitment to getting facts right, and importantly, correcting errors openly when they happen.
Okay, makes sense.
And independence. Journalists should owe their loyalty only to the public, not to their sources, not to advertisers, not to political parties.
That independence one feels harder and harder to maintain. What's the third pillar?
This one causes a lot of debate: fairness and impartiality. And Hargreaves makes a really useful distinction. He says pure objectivity, like a view from nowhere, that's probably impossible, philosophically.
Right, everyone has some perspective.
But fairness, he argues, is achievable. Fairness is about the process. Mm-hmm. Did you give different sides a chance to respond? Did you represent various viewpoints accurately? Are you open about what you know and, crucially, what you don't know?
That's a much more practical standard, focusing on the method.
Exactly. Then the last two are humanity, basically, having compassion, respecting privacy, being sensitive, especially around trauma. Mm-hmm. And finally, accountability. Being transparent about how you work, responding to criticism, owning your mistakes. These five things together, he argues, are the foundation if the profession wants to rebuild trust.
Okay, so that's the ethical foundation. What about the day-to-day practice? How does news actually get chosen? He talks about news values, right?
Yeah, things like timeliness. Is it new? Mm-hmm. Prominence, does it involve important people or places? Proximity, did it happen nearby? Human interest, does it connect emotionally? These values act like a filter.
Meaning news isn't just a perfect reflection of reality.
Definitely not. It's what he calls a socially constructed product. Editors and journalists are making choices constantly about what's important, what fits, what they think the audience needs or wants to know.
And those choices lead into this idea of framing.
Yes. Framing is huge. It's how the story is told, the words used, the headline, the images, the overall tone. It massively influences how you, the audience, understand the event.
Like his example, protesters clash with police gives a very different feeling than police attack peaceful demonstrators. Same event, different frame.
Completely different interpretation, potentially. And understanding this reality, this construction of news, it highlights how the journalist's role itself has had to change dramatically.
How so?
Well, think back to the old days, maybe just a few TV channels, one or two newspapers in town. Information was scarce. The journalist was the gatekeeper.
Deciding what news got through the gate to the public.
Precisely. But now, the internet blew the gates wide open. Information, or at least content, is everywhere. It's overwhelming.
So the job changes from gatekeepers to
sensemaker or curator. The job isn't deciding if you get information. It's helping you navigate the flood. It's verifying what's out there, analyzing it, putting it in context, explaining why it matters.
That's a fundamental shift in function, from deciding what to cover to making sense of the deluge.
A massive shift.
Uh-huh.
And arguably a much harder job, but a necessary one if journalism's core purpose is to survive.
Okay, let's try and distill this. If we had to pick, say, three main themes Hargreaves really wants us to grasp, what would they be?
I think the first, maybe the most critical, is what you could call the democratic necessity.
Meaning?
Meaning, journalism isn't a luxury. It's basic infrastructure for a functioning democracy, like roads or clean water.
Yeah.
If people don't have access to reliable, shared information, how can they make informed choices? How can they hold power accountable?
So the health of journalism and the health of democracy are tied together.
Inextricably linked, in his view. The second theme goes back to that tension we discussed. Let's call it productive tension.
Okay, how is the tension productive? It sounds mostly destructive.
Well, he argues that while the commercial pressure can be damaging, it can also force innovation. The fact that the old advertising model collapsed, while devastating, forces news organizations to find new ways to be valuable, to connect directly with audiences who might pay for quality.
Ah, so the struggle itself can lead to new, maybe better, models like high-quality subscriptions or nonprofit investigative outfits.
Potentially, yes. It forces adaptation. It pushes journalists to be more relevant, more specialized. It's a more nuanced take than just saying commercial bad.
Okay, interesting. And the third theme?
Has to be the crisis of trust. This underlies everything. Hargreaves is clear. This is the most profound long-term threat. And rebuilding that trust isn't about slick PR.
It's about that ethical practice we talked about.
It's about a deep, radical commitment to transparency, accuracy, accountability, day in and day out. It's hard, slow work.
Right. Let's pull out a few specific ideas, those memorable nuggets from Hargreaves.
Good idea. Okay, first one. Journalism's first obligation is to the truth.
Simple, direct. Truth before clicks, before bias, before anything else.
Exactly. Second, the news media are the primary sense-making practice of modern society.
That puts a huge responsibility on them, doesn't it? To not just report facts, but explain complex stuff, a science policy.
Make it understandable. Give it context. Third one, reflecting the digital age. The digital revolution has democratized the means of communication, but not necessarily the production of reliable information.
Meaning just because anyone can publish doesn't mean they should, or that what they publish is trustworthy. There's a difference between access and quality.
Precisely. And the last one, a bit more somber, trust is journalism's most precious asset and its scarcest resource.
Oof. That really captures the challenge right now. Scarcest resource.
It does.
Okay, so putting this all together, how can we, as people trying to navigate the news, actually use these insights from Hargreaves? What are the real-life applications?
Well, for starters, use that idea of framing. When you read or watch something, actively ask yourself, how is this being presented? What words are they choosing? What's emphasized? What might be left out?
Become a more critical consumer, basically. Spot the angle.
Spot the angle. Understand the choices being made. Another key thing, diversify your sources. Don't just live in one news bubble.
Yeah, that seems crucial. If you only get news from one place, you only get one frame.
Exactly. Try to get perspectives from different types of outlets, maybe a mainstream source, a local paper, an international one, maybe a nonprofit focused on investigation. Build a more rounded picture for yourself.
Makes sense.
And maybe the hardest one.
Yeah.
Recognize that quality journalism costs money. If we value its function, the verification, the accountability, we probably need to be willing to support it somehow.
Whether that's subscribing, donating to nonprofits, valuing it as a public good, not just free content.
Right. The old ad model isn't coming back in the same way. So if we want the function to survive, we, the public, might need to play a more direct role in funding it.
So the big takeaway for you, the listener, seems to be shifting from just passively consuming news to being an active, critical participant. Hargreaves gives you the tools to understand the system behind the stories.
Yeah, and what really struck me was his focus on the function over the form. He's saying, don't get too hung up on saving, say, the printed newspaper as an object. Focus on preserving the essential job journalism does, providing verified, reliable information for citizens.
The delivery method will keep changing, but the core purpose needs saving.
Exactly. The future is about adapting, innovating, but always holding on to those core democratic values and ethical principles.
And for me, the power of this deep dive is realizing that evaluating news isn't about finding some impossible, perfectly objective source. It's about understanding the process, the verification, the ethics, the pressures that shapes what legitimate journalists produce. It's about appreciating the effort involved in fulfilling that crucial democratic role.
It's a vital conversation to have, especially now. A sobering look, but a necessary one for understanding the challenges facing informed democracy.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.